Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Jane's going to hang with me here for this hour. My friend Joe Arnold, you've spoken with Joe before. He's down in Louisville. He used to be at WHAS Radio and Television, and he did a little hit for me yesterday afternoon on the Kentucky Derby. And a couple things on that front, Jane. First and foremost, there's been a revision to my old Kentucky home, as you might imagine. That's racist. So they were working to play it. Now I guess they're going to play it, even though there's not going to be a crowd there. And then they said, I don't know what words they're changing, but they're changing some words in my old Kentucky home. And then the other part of this is pretty cool. I just put this up on Twitter. Joe just sent this to me. It's pretty funny. So there's nobody in, you know, going to be in Churchill Downs, some media. And that's it. There's a guy from Ohio that rented a lift for this woman and her friends and neighbors that live right by the track. So basically, he can lift up this, you know, this sort of scissor lift that has a big, I don't even know what you would call the top of it, but, you know, there's room for probably 15, 20 people on this thing, and it goes into the air, and then they can see inside the track. That is American ingenuity at its best.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I've been going to the Kentucky Derby since about 1992, and, you know, pre-9/11, you could pretty much bring anything into Churchill Downs. There are legendary stories that weren't just rumors about people sneaking kegs into the infield and things along those lines. But anyway, we do get the 146th running of the Kentucky Derby tomorrow evening, early evening at Churchill Downs. Right now, there's another great sporting event going on. That's the Tour Championship, which comes on the heels of the FedEx Cup and the standings throughout the year. Dustin Johnson not winning the tournament last weekend, but still number one in the world, and I think he's doing pretty well this afternoon. He started at minus 10. Our own Dan Reardon, no relation, with us this afternoon with a bit of an update. I have it on here. I'm a little distracted because I've had it on this afternoon. Dan, what are we seeing so far from the best golfers on the planet?
Not a lot of movement on the leaderboard, and good afternoon, Mark and Jane. Not a lot of movement on the leaderboard. Two under par. Dustin is through seven, I believe it is. Justin Thomas has climbed to within three. He's tied with John Rahm. John Rahm, one under par. The best round on the golf course is Abraham Anser. He's four under through 15 holes. So Eastlake is holding up very well. But, Mark, you know, I need to correct, as you know, what I said on Monday about the way this outcome of this event is. When the weekend is over, whoever wins the FedEx Cup will also automatically be the winner of the Tour Championship. It's a bizarre circumstance, and I know I confused myself. Basically, most golf tournaments, the guy that has the fewest strokes wins the tournament. Not so this week. It's the guy that's the most under par on Sunday that wins this championship. And to give you an idea how strange that is, go back 2 years ago when we all saw Tiger Woods with that triumphant march down 18 at Eastlake, breaking the long streak of never having to win. People forget that Justin Rose won the FedEx Cup, and had these rules been in place, Tiger would currently have one less win on his record.
That is interesting. Yeah, Jane, I don't know if you know how this works. So basically, Dustin Johnson started minus 10. He's minus 11 right now through 8. John Rahm, I think, started at minus 8. He's minus 1 right now. I can't remember where Justin Thomas started. Probably minus 7 because he's minus 2 right now, right?
That's right.
Minus 9
seven,
overall.
I think,
along
with Webb Simpson, they both started at 7. So, yeah, he's 9 overall. It's such a strange circumstance. I understand what the tour is trying to do, and I understand they're servicing FedEx. because the winner is going to walk away with $15 million. So they've simplified this process a great deal. I just think it's odd that the biggest championship they conduct, the guy that shoots the best score, doesn't win the tournament. It's the guy that is finished most under par.
Yeah,
it's odd, Dan, and I don't know if there's a better way to do it, because here's what we know from the past few weekends and the past few years. Last weekend was exceptionally entertaining and an amazing sporting event, and just the finish was one of the best finishes in golf that I've seen even in the past several years. But this weekend has the opportunity to be really, really competitive. But if DJ starts putting up, you know, big numbers, then again, it's tightly grouped right now, minus 9, minus 11. I'd like to see competition, because he starts throwing big numbers up, shoots 66, 67. He ends up being minus 24 on Monday. It's going to be kind of hard for anyone to beat him. But, you know, these are tough golf courses, and we know that things change, conditions change, and somebody can make a run here.
And I think there should be a greater reward for a player like Dustin Johnson. If you think about it, he blew the field away at Northern Trust. The following week, he loses in sudden death to an unbelievable putt by John Rahm. And yet today, if he had started out the first hole and bogeyed the first hole and John Rahm had birdied the first hole, they'd be tied. Seems like he deserves a little more reward for what he had done the last 2 weeks than a two-stroke advantage. But like I said, the tour is doing the best they can with this. They want the players to know where they are in the FedEx Cup. They really could care less if they know where they stood in regard to the tournament field. And so that's the way it's going to be. But I gave you the Tiger example, because what would that controversy have been if they had told Tiger, you did not win this championship because you didn't win the FedEx Cup? And that's the way it works today.
It's odd. I understand it. I've been listening to debates all week from, you know, PGA folks on this, and I just want it to be a good weekend like last weekend with some competitive golf. And so far what I'm seeing on this course today, I think you have that, Dan. So enjoy the weekend. A little odd for this to start on a Friday, but that's because of Monday being Labor Day, right?
That's correct. They used to play one of the FedEx series events on a Labor Day in Boston. Now they cut one of those out, so they close on Labor Day. And they're on schedule this year. This is when it was supposed to be played.
Oh, okay.
Dan Reardon, appreciate it. Enjoy the weekend. We still have a lot of golf this fall, the U.S. Open and the Masters. So we're not done even after the Tour Championship. We'll have plenty of times to talk here moving forward. I appreciate it, Dan. Have a great weekend.
Enjoy it, Mark.
Take care. Hey, Jane, you often do. I was wondering about this because this is a big weekend for fantasy football and drafts. I drafted last Sunday. Are you doing fantasy this weekend or this year?
No, I usually do. Well, I've been doing NBA fantasy stuff, believe it or not. I've been way into the NBA. So I do, you know, FanDuel, where I'll do it nightly. I'll pick players, and it makes it more enjoyable when you're also fighting for your players and the team. I mean, I think the NBA's done it well. I'm concerned football may not get through, but, you know, we're on track for baseball. So that was good. So that gives me hope. But they're on top of each other. It's going to be interesting.
You know what, though? I've been pessimistic about football all throughout. I said, there's no way we're going to have college football. There's no way we're going to have professional football. It certainly looks like we're going to get off the ground on both fronts, which is good. And I think if people are playing by the rules, which, you know, young players, college players in particular, this question, I think there's some chance of success, because you saw some of the coaches out there, for example, Trevor Lawrence at Clemson, trying to make the case that this is a safer situation because it's controlled. We're getting tested all the time. We're using the protocols. So I'll be very curious, because if, you know, it's not like you have 60 games with the NFL. So you go into some sort of protocol. I don't even know what that protocol might be. It's going to be pretty tough if you got to take a couple of weeks off to somehow get a doubleheader in with football. That seems
correct.
plausible, right?
But I do think that the low number of games does help, because it makes the lockdown easier and it makes people less crazy. But, you know, I mean, that's close contact. It seems like a whole different ball game, you know. But I was worried about baseball, and that went well. So I think if I'm worried about football, it will go too, and then I will do my FanDuel as well.
And how do you feel about the Cardinals right now? Because this is going to be a very interesting stretch. Great weekend series in Chicago, of course. They're going to play, and this is an interesting little set. By Monday night, the Cardinals will play as many games on the north side of Chicago as they have on this side of the river. 10 games versus, isn't that crazy?
Yeah,
well, it says 10 against 15. That's not super close. That's in a story that's in the Post right now. But I like the way that the Cardinals have been playing occasionally. Flaherty's going to pitch tonight against Yu Darvish.
Yep.
And Yu Darvish has been pretty tough during the month of August, so we'll see how that goes. But, you know, there's good things that I can point to that really leave me more confident. I think the Cardinals are going to make the playoffs, all right, unless things fall apart completely in the next 2 weeks. And as we push toward the end of the month, I just have a feeling that this is a team that could really be peaking at the right time.
Exactly.
Doesn't help that Dex is out. And I still think we have some questions about the pitching, but I like the way, especially given the fact that we had 2 weeks off and everything with COVID. Think about that and what they've achieved.
Yeah.
I don't think enough people give the team credit for that.
Right. No, that was very disruptive and very, you know, it's all about, thankfully, in this short season, when you peak. And hopefully we are going to get there. And hopefully all those, you know, beginning season, you know, problems they're going to start clicking and we're going to peak. But yes, I agree. Playoffs. And we need it.
I just can't wait till we will not have probably, and maybe we will, might not have the record that the Cubs have. Maybe the Cubs win the division, but the Cubs go out of the playoffs earlier than we do. I'm just going to say it right now. It's going to happen.
That'd be great.
Right?
It should. I mean, if the universe is right, then yes, it will happen. I mean, I'm still freaking out about the Blues. So, you know, I will not be able to take Chicago, you know, doing better than us.
Jane, hang on. We're coming back with much more. There was a show that was on last night. It's actually kind of a mini documentary series about Vintage Vinyl in the Del Mar Loop. And Papa Ray from Vintage Vinyl is going to join me here coming up in just a couple of minutes as I just all of a sudden noticed that my computer is about to run out of juice.
Miss any part of the Mark Reardon Show? Download the podcast anytime.
Initiating download. Stand by.
At KMOX.com/Reardon.
All right, welcome back. A Friday afternoon edition of the Mark Reardon Show as we head into the weekend, and I got to turn my audio. Hang on.
I can't find my remote.
I was actually trying to take a peek here into Jane, a television show that was on Channel 9 last night, and we have a guest to join us this afternoon. I wasn't sure if he was going to jump on, but he's here. He's a huge, huge fan of my politics. We agree on most everything. Papa Ray is here from Vintage Vinyl. He was on television last night. Tom Papa Ray, how are you?
You know, like the church folks say, I am blessed. How are you
and
doing?
You have a, you know, I'm doing good. People always joke with me, face for radio. I had to see you on television last night, and this is going to be an extended series on Channel 9, this new show that talks about vinyl, and Papa Ray is called Papa Ray's Vintage Vinyl Roadshow. You became a television star last night.
Well, you know, here's the way I see it. We have two TV shows about cupcakes. I think there's room for a TV show about the way record stores in each of their cities interact with the music scene there. I mean, it's the essence of local business.
Jane, do you remember the first, Tom, we got Jane Duker on with me here this afternoon. Jane, do you remember the first record that you ever purchased?
Oh, wow. Oh, boy. It could have been
a long time ago, first of all.
Right. Yeah. It could have
might have been a 78 at your age. Could have been a 78.
Yeah.
You think about that.
Ooh.
Yeah, it could have been Elton John. I mean, that rings a bell, but I mean, I had a ton of them. I mean, I had Peaches crates. And then my parents owned a discotheque in the 70s. And when it shut down, we took all the records. And I actually brought some of them down to Vintage Vinyl and, you know, to get them checked out and see if there are any they wanted. All these club versions, you know, weird disco music. At the time, they're like, well, everybody doesn't love disco that much. So maybe they'll get more valuable as time goes on. But anyway, I love Vintage Vinyl. It's spectacular.
Thank you.
You asked that question, Tom. You know, it's one of the ways that the show started last night was the first record. I always have to think back. I think maybe the first record I owned, I don't think I bought it on my own because I was maybe 8 or 9 years old. And this is a confession that I'm not quite comfortable making, but it was the Partridge Family, one of their albums, because I was a kid.
Album.
Probably reassured your mama.
Maybe it did. But then in 76, 77, I started buying some Led Zeppelin and some Tom Petty, and then finally Bruce Springsteen. And Tom, I'm in a room right now that has about 3,000 pieces of vinyl. I unpacked all my vinyl about 7-8 years ago. I'm in my studio at home in my listening room. And lo and behold, you know this more than most people, vinyl has made a nice little resurgence here in the past 5 or 6 years, hasn't it?
It's actually been going on longer than that, but in the last six years probably. With a vengeance.
Great.
Why do you think that is? What do you attribute that to?
Well, I think the world we live in now, the majority of people will be happy to stream music and have their music on, you know, an iPod. But, you know, a lot of people like to eat fast foods. A lot of people like to eat a really well-made meal. And that's the difference. Audio quality. And there's just something pleasing and tactile about picking up a record of somebody whose music you love and playing it.
And looking at the liner notes and looking at the artwork and flipping the record over and all these things. Yeah. And I've found, you know, one of the best things my son, I have one son who's 23 right now, Tom, and right before he moved to Houston about 2 months ago, apparently picked the biggest COVID hotspot on the planet, said, I'm moving there. He said, hey, he's got a couple of turntables right now. He said, yeah, I got a couple of turntables that people gave me. And then I gave him one. I had one from around the house that was still extra. I said, hey, try this one. He goes, I've been listening to Springsteen lately. This kid could do anything now. Get arrested, doesn't matter. He said, I've been listening to a lot of Springsteen. I've been working on that for so long. He's up in the power rankings number one right now in my family just because he said that, Tom.
You know, my son just had to move, just got a new job in Charleston, South Carolina, because he had a really great job in Florida, but it went away with the pandemic.
Yeah, yep. I know it's a tough deal out there. Well, tell us about the show just a little bit. The first episode was on last night. Is this going to be a series? Are you hoping to turn this into something more? Channel 9 is working with you. Papa Ray's Vintage Vinyl Roadshow. What's it all about?
I would love to see PBS pick it up and make it a national series. And that way, like I said, when I go to a town like, obviously, in Nashville, but even, you know, a place like Columbus, Ohio, or Cleveland, Fort Lauderdale, if you want to connect to the music, culture, and community in any place, no better way than to go to the record store, because they know it. And, you know, it's the clearinghouse, and it's the, you know, it's sort of the heroic fort for music lovers in their community.
Yep. And it's not just about history.
Well, one of the great things about Vintage Vinyl and some of the other local record shops too, and I know that I haven't had a chance to watch the whole episode last night, but the in-stores that the artists do, the performances, the record signing, that's another thing about records. You know, I'm sitting in here, I got a bunch of flats on the wall from back in the 80s. Some of them are signed. I got a good Steve Earle, you know, Guitar Town behind me, but you can't really sign digital music, so that's another reason I love vinyl so much.
Well, and if you think about it, the LP was the perfect medium in the sense that it was 38 minutes long, two sides. It's like you got two suites of music. And remember back in the day, how many times reviewers would say, oh, such and such a two-record set would make a perfect single record? Well, a CD is the length of a two-record set. And you don't get the same focus. It doesn't. To me, the LP was a better medium for the artist.
I completely agree with that. So the show was on last night. It's going to air a couple of times this weekend if people want to check it out?
Coming up on 6:30 Saturday night as part of the ongoing pledge drive for, 9PBS. And then on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, it's going to show in the evening, and it's just going to show without the aspect of the fun drive with it.
Awesome.
Well, good luck with it. I'm going to finish watching that first episode. Got it in the DVR this weekend. Anytime we can feature vinyl or music, you know, Tom, I'm a big fan of that. So I was joking. We disagree on pretty much everything politically, but that's okay because we bond on music together, like Jane and I do as well. Tom Papa Ray, watch the show, Channel 9 this weekend. Keep us posted on your TV stardom, Tom, okay?
Have a musical day, Mark and Jane.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. Papa Ray's Vintage Vinyl Roadshow. It's got a great name to it, and I hope he has some success with it. Jane, we're back with more. We still have number one songs this day in history. I have some songs that I'm going to pick out as well, because every once in a while I'll do that. You know, I'll give you my choice. Uh-huh. I think you're going to like these, though. I think you're going to like my choices for this weekend. So we'll test those out here in just a few minutes.
You've been waiting for football. They've been waiting for football. The Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs return to KMOX September 10th.
Touchdown!
Hear all their games here on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Uncle Ted, coming back with Uncle Ted. Appreciate that, Dave Klein. 341, Jane, we have number one songs, and I have a couple of musical picks, but let me just run quickly down those numbers. Dr. Garza kind of got into the details there of his, you know, taking the vaccine as well. So I like to look at these from time to time, see where we are. Today, and I combine the numbers, okay? So what I do is I combine the confirmed cases with suspected. And the reason I do that is because earlier that's what they did. So this matches up with the numbers from April, for example. So here we are with 401 cases. That's what is called PUI as well, patients under investigation, I think that's. I don't think it's patients under influence. I think it's investigation. So today we have 401. On July 27th, we had 337, okay? Hmm. On April 28th, we had 678. So this is not much better than end of April. Not as good as we were at the end of July. The ICU COVID patients on April 28th was 159. Today, we are at 105, so that's a better number. There were 113 on ventilators April 28th. We have 66 on July 27th, though, there were 36 on ventilators, so we've doubled that number. There were 79 on ICU, and there were 337. So these numbers, unfortunately, they were kind of staying steady, and you heard Dr. Garza say there's some positives, but those are not good numbers compared to where we were. You know, think about it. A month ago, this is when some of these restrictions kicked in again, the month of August. We don't seemingly, I don't think we made much progress according to their analytics. And that affects schools and everything else. Anyway, those are the numbers you have as of 3:43 this afternoon. Dave, let's do number one songs this day in history.
Whiplash propelled us into a time warp, Captain. Backward.
This is a Flashback Friday.
Flashback.
Number one songs of the 70s to today.
They don't make music like that anymore.
With Mark Rudin on KMOX.
Go a little Friday tradition here. We go back 50, 40, 30, 2010, and we talk about the number one song of 2020, which is usually a bunch of crap, but we'll see where we are. 1970, Jane, this was number one. Well, you know, we're just telling the truth. This was number one 50 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Great song by Edwin Starr. My favorite version has always been amongst the 40-plus times I've seen Bruce Springsteen when he's done this. I've probably seen this done about a dozen times. By the way, we're going to go into a raucous rock and roll song. Bruce Springsteen, E Street Band doing War, right into this little sleeper from 1980.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my God, I know. Hey, Chris Cross with you on the radio this afternoon. Why 98 FM? I always like to throw them in there. 1990, they don't even play that. I shouldn't put them in that category. 1990, it was Sweet Sensation. Do we even remember this one? Wow, no, I don't. Do you remember that one, Jane?
No.
I don't remember it. Yeah, no. Dave, do you remember that one?
No, this had to have been a one-hit wonder.
Yeah. Well, 1990 was the year that I quit drinking, but it was late in the year as November, so I don't remember a whole lot from 1990. Anyway, 2000, Janet Jackson was number one. I kind of remember that one. Can't believe that that was number one, though. And then 2010, it was Rihanna.
Just gonna stand there,
great song.
It's a great song that isn't... Till today, it's used in commercials and stuff like that. Isn't that the song that got used in a lot of commercials? Maybe some of her songs did. And then number one right now, it is September 4th, 2020. It's this song that I'm probably sure I've never heard before. But let's hear it, Dave. Oh, it has a melody. That's a step in the right direction. Look at that. A number one song from 2020 or this decade that actually has a melody. It's a little poppy for me, but
refreshing.
There you go. Jane, I have, it's a little surprising. I have a couple of songs that I would like to recommend this week as well. Dave Klein is on board with me. I think you might be on board as well. Okay. Let's start. Eric Church has been putting some really good songs out, and he has a little bit. Man, the song he put out dropped about a month and a half ago, maybe 2 months ago, was a rocker. This one is not quite a rocker, but we love it so much. Crazy Line. Let's hear it, Dave.
Let me take your hat, friend. Tell me what's the matter. Round here, folks call me the Mad Hatter. I sat in the corner with his heart on his sleeve, talking to regret who's never gonna leave.
You know, when I first moved to St. Louis in the late 1970s, it was 1979, November, I was not very familiar with Southern rock because I lived in Chicago. I knew a lot of classic rock. We had a lot of Southern rock that was popular here in St. Louis and Missouri. And Eric Church is a Southern rocker. That's what he is. A lot of people would think that he is country, but he can really put on a great show as well. And this is my other pick. We're going total country rock and roll this weekend because here's another guy that is a great country rocker. Brand new song from Chris Stapleton called Starting Over.
Well, the road rolls out like a welcome mat to a better place than the one we're at.
Those are my two songs, Jane, on repeat right now. Crazy Land, Eric Church, Chris Stapleton, Starting Over. I'm going to cut you loose. We got audio cut of the day and traffic coming up. We'll go out here with Chris Stapleton. Jane, I will talk to you next Friday on the Roundtable.
Happy Labor Day.
We can jump in the water and see what flows. We've been saving for a rainy day. Let's be.
Storm
and be on our way.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Yes, audio cut of the day is sponsored by the Good Feet Store, pain relief and comfort to fit any budget. I lied a little bit a few minutes ago. I got one more musical story to tell, and it's our audio cut of the day. This is a band that I'm a pretty big fan of. Actually, my kids introduced me, my kids who are now 20 and 23, and I saw these guys in concert one time and was blown away, and I've loved this song. But there's a story that goes along with it here. This is 21 Pilots.
Panic on the brain.
It's a song called Level of Concern, but that's not what the story is about. There's a guy, this is like a two-person band, and they're extremely entertaining for people who are familiar with them. Tyler Joseph, one of the members, has been under a lot of pressure on Twitter because fans argue that he has an obligation to share information about Black Lives Matter. So on Wednesday, he tweeted out this: "You guys keep asking me to use my platforms. Feels good to dust these bad boys off." And he posted a picture of himself in high platform shoes. Well, the woke crowd didn't like that very much. No, Tyler, that's not what we mean. We'd like you to speak up on the injustice in this country. It's disappointing to see you joke about this, dude. So what he did, I give him credit for this. He said, look, I'm going to use my platform to talk about suicide prevention. I respect all the warriors out there fighting for different causes. There is honor in it, purpose, and it can make our world better. I just want to remind you what I'm fighting for. Your mental health is more important today than it's ever been. You're not alone. But he was hammered by people who claim to be fans, I guess, because they didn't think he did enough. And somebody wrote, just admit you were wrong and share resources that are actually useful. You know, if I were Tyler Joseph, I'd say blank you. He said, my tweet wasn't supposed to be about human rights. It was just something to raise awareness about something else. And he said, this isn't a notes app moment. I'm doubling down on my platform tweet. It was fantastic. So I give him credit. He didn't really apologize. He stuck to it. And they're not really fans if that's what they're doing to you, Tyler. I promise you that. 356 at KMOX.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.